Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this beautiful Tuesday morning, as I've kind of been saying all morning. Tuesday, April the 4th, 2023, 4/4/23, 13 minutes past the hour, 51 degrees and mostly sunny skies in the area. You cannot get any better day than that, any better way to start your day than that springtime here in Ohio. Certainly not a bad thing at all. We have a guest coming on here momentarily. That's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, it's always fun to have a guest on who we have had on before to talk about a myriad of things going on. And there is certainly no lack of things going on in the world today, as of course we all know. So we will get to our guest momentarily here on this Tuesday morning. Can you believe it's Tuesday already? By the way, I do want to remind people the Friday night show will return this week, 8:15 to 10 p.m. We did return last week, but as I said, with not much publicity. So this week, we will definitely be back on Friday night, Sean Kraft and myself. Who knows who else will show up, but we definitely want to let the listening audience know that we will be there on Friday night. Had a great pre-show dinner last week. That was very good. You know, we went to Denny's and got great service, great food, which is always nice. And then we traveled over to the Dairy Queen, and as I said yesterday, the best dessert, as far as I'm concerned, in the world, is a Oreo Blizzard from Dairy Queen. How can you go wrong there? I don't think there's any way to go wrong with a large Oreo Blizzard from Dairy Queen. Now, some people like to put chocolate ice cream in there. And some people like, have you ever noticed how many blizzards there are now, by the way? You know, I am startled by that list. They've got a blizzard for everything. I think every candy bar, every imaginable flavor of anything, banana split, birthday cake, and then they have the ones that are seasonal. You know, come out for Thanksgiving, like pumpkin. In the summer, there are different ones. If we think of all the ice cream shops that we've had over the years, and how they have evolved, it really is amazing. You know, sometimes when I go to the grocery store and walk down the ice cream aisle, which I normally don't buy ice cream, to be honest with you, because I'm not a big sweets person, I always look at all the different flavors of ice cream there are now. The last time I went in there and did something like that, I just wanted strawberry. And there are about 18 different kinds of strawberry ice cream in the grocery store. Which, that amazes me. How many different flavors of strawberry could there be? How many different variations? See, then I get off my game, because I start looking at the different variations of strawberry ice cream and I'm thinking, well, which one is plain strawberry? Which one is the one that I want? Then it becomes a whole thing and you're trying to find exactly what you want. Well, I think we're going to have our guest here momentarily, 17 minutes past the hour on this April the 4th, 2023, 4/4/23, 51 degrees, mostly sunny skies on this particular day. And as I said, this is going to be a very interesting conversation. And then tomorrow, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what news will happen as the day-to-day progresses and we head in to tomorrow? You never really know, do you? You never really know what's going to happen day-to-day. Well, hold on a second here. We might try to get our guest on the line, which means we might have to step out here for a break momentarily. Let me see if our guest is ready to join us. All righty. Well, I tell you what. Let's see what we can do here.
If you think it might be poison, then the first thing you should do is call 1-800-222-1222. Poison can be anything you're not supposed to take. Antifreeze, pesticide, the wrong drug by mistake. If you breathed a nasty chemical, been bitten by a snake, call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here for you night or day.
For a poison or drug emergency at home or at work, just call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here 24-7 with the expert help you need. Free and confidential. Even if you think it's a false alarm, call
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison and you don't know what to do, call 1-800-222-1222.
All right, we're back here, 19 minutes past the hour on this April 4th, 2023, and we have one of my favorite guests on this morning. He's been on with us many times. It's been far too long since our last visit, but we always enjoy having him on. Now, just to clear the air on something, because that's something we like to do on this program before we get to the current events of the day, there was a recent allegation that put our guest's name in some headlines, including People magazine. Now, I just want to say what's been said, and then we're going to go to our guest and clear this all up for everybody. Actress Cheryl Lee Ralph was recently on a podcast. This was released on March the 20th. According to Ralph, on this podcast, she says she was at a very public place. She was well-suited. She had a suit on. I was handling my business for the television show I was on at that time. He and I were on the same network. She continued, the man walked in, grabbed me by the back of the neck, turned me around, and rammed his nasty tongue down my throat, and everybody at the network saw this. Now, her claim was this was, I believe, somebody on the same network at the time, and a judge. And I guess it's also been claimed that it was not Judge Greg Mathis. So that's where we are. No names were said at that point. But here we are. Our guest this hour, one of my favorite people, as I said, legendary of the host of the legendary Judge Joe Brown Show, Judge Joe Brown. Judge, how are you?
Good morning.
Well,
I'm all right.
Yeah, Judge, let's just start. How did this all come about from Cheryl Lee Ralph, and kind of take us through what has happened?
My people say she's trying to sell a book. I am unacquainted with the lady. I've never met her. I have no idea who she is, other than what I've read. Now, if you do the timeline, you actually go back and look at the record. She says in her interview that she had a new show with the same studio with a new judge show was a famous TV judge. Well, there are 15 other people I can think of, and why they want to put me in there, I don't know. She doesn't say the judge is black. She just says famous TV judge. She also says, I imagine she speed dialed Mayor Morial of New Orleans. Well, if you go back and you look at the studios involved, and she names a studio, there is a new show coming out at that time by a famous TV judge. She's got a new show she's on, and that gentleman was mayor of New Orleans. The time is about 1996. 1996, Judge Joe Brown was working on the James Earl Ray matter. I didn't hit until several years later. And at that time, she would have had a 3-going-on-4-year-old show she was involved in. In Hollywood, that was not, is not, a new show. There is an individual who, shall we say, was matching that description, but it wasn't me. Now, I'll just say that. There was a specific individual.
Now, Judge Cheryl Lee Ralph in this interview did say a famous TV judge. She didn't name anybody. How did it get to where you were associated with this?
I have absolutely no idea. I wouldn't have said anything. Somebody brought it to my attention, and then some fool started putting my picture next to hers and accusing me by name. I'm running for mayor of Memphis here, and that's a very bad thing to have out while you're running, true or otherwise, so I felt compelled to, well, consulting with my crew to make a statement, and I said, I'm unacquainted with her, do not know her, I did not do this to her, and left it at that. That's where it was a while ago and where it still is. I could say the individual's name, but I don't want to put innuendo out that might insult this person.
You know, Judge, what's odd about this is Cheryl Lee Ralph made this claim, but she didn't name anybody, and so many people who have made these claims have named people. Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, Bill Cosby. A lot of people have been named. Whether they are guilty or not is up to the courts, public opinion, whatever. In this case, she didn't name anybody. Why do you think that was? That's a very strange thing to say without naming anybody. Because you would think if you wanted publicity, why not say the name if it truly happened?
Well, you know, if you're going to have a Hollywood kiss and tell book, I suppose you would name who you kissed, but that doesn't seem to be the case. But my crew says there's a political motive here. It's kicking in. You know, certain people, they don't seem to want to play by the rules when it comes to politics. They want to whine and claim that they've been done wrong and somebody's abused them and play victim and then turn around and do the filthiest things themselves. So there's a political context to this. There's also just a happenstance, and it may or may not be the lady involved. If this happened to her, somebody did that to her, it's very bad, but what she's describing is a specific individual who, let's just say this, allegedly would have been a mayor of a very large city for a long time before clue because I think she was with Moesha. And at the time Moesha came out, I was not into sitcoms. I don't like them. Can't stand them. It was about some young teens at a junior high school, and I believe the storyline had them morphing into high school students. And that's not something I'd watch anyway. And at the time, I was involved with, well, I was dating a very beautiful and famous woman at the time, and this lady is not my type. And I would not have moved that way. If I was interested, it'd be wine, dining, and candlelight, walk in the park, and being smooth. That's not my style.
Now, Judge, I want to respect your decision not to name this person, but here's all I want to say in regard.
Well, I'll say this. The studio's conglomerate name was KDF. Moesha had been marketed by KDF starting in 95 in New Orleans at what's known as NAPTI, National Association of Television Producers and Executives. At the same time, a very old, successful TV judge show was being revived and hired to play that role was a person that had been mayor of a very large American city for quite a few terms. So that ought to give you a clue. That was not me. And they both were there at the same time, historically, according to the studio's timeline. That's the one that was involved. And I was never with that studio.
Let me say this, Judge, in regard to this.
I will give you this. I think you and I talked one time, and we actually mentioned this individual's name.
I believe this person has been a guest on this show in the past. No longer.
By far left.
Yeah.
Also, this person, I'll give you another clue. He's the one that hired Judge Judy when she first got out of law school to be a domestic court judge in the city he was mayor over. He also appointed her husband, who wound up with the same show, who happened to be there at the NAPTI at the same time she was. And if that gives you any clue, you can go for it. But I mean, I don't think he's around anymore.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. The gentleman is no longer with us. Mayor of a very big city, hosted a revived version of a very popular television court show, the late 1990s. And yes, he was a guest on this show several times before he went on to his reward. So I definitely think we're talking about the same person here. And Judge, could it be that because this person is no longer with us, that she didn't mention the name?
I have no idea. That would require speculation, and that's not what I'm into. It's just I got caught up in it, but I think that happened because, let's take this. What was the woman's name who was doing the interview? Ye or something like that. Well, that woman had been part of the Breakfast Club, and there had been an ongoing animus between the entirety of the Breakfast Club crew of three, which included her at one time and myself, that goes back several years. And I challenged them to a debate, me against the three of them on neutral grounds, and we weren't doing well. So maybe that had something to do with it. The other thing is that the woman in question has a political and social agenda that does not match mine, and I'm looked at as an enemy of their agenda. I'm a strong pro-family somebody, and the young woman involved, I guess it's a young woman, I don't know her either, has often attacked the traditional nuclear family. So we don't see eye to eye. And maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, and just,
or why.
And just to
I
give...
Just think it's typical of today's journalism, where they are reckless, they don't do their homework, they do not understand what they're talking about, and all they're interested in is the entertainment value that goes along with something off of the front page of a tabloid, which is what mainstream journalism is now.
And just to give this total context, Ralph did claim in the interview that the incident took place when she was starring on Moesha, which ran on the now-defunct UPN network from 96 through 2001, and just for context, the person who we're talking about took over as host of that court show, mayor of a very large city, no longer with us, past guest on this program, in 1997. So, there you go.
There you go. And I didn't come in until the end of 1998, so that wasn't me.
Well, it is interesting because, and speculation is speculation, but, you know, for whatever reason, it was his name was not put out there. It's certainly not hard for somebody now to guess who that was. Is there any reason you don't want to name him, Judge? I mean, you're not accusing him of doing it. You're just saying this is...
Well, I don't want to get caught up in the innuendo of the whole thing, and that would be... potentially defamation of character. And it's not my style anyway. So these people are reckless about their innuendo. And that kind of thing is just bad form. So I'll just leave it at I wasn't there. It wasn't me. I don't know the woman. If this happened to her, it's unfortunate and it's vile. But it's even worse that somebody is trying to infer that it was me. And a lot of it, I'm getting told, from my crew has to do with my lifetime motto, protecting womanhood and promoting manhood. That seems to be something that is badly offending certain persons who not necessarily the lady that had the bit part in the comedy show, but some others who don't like that idea that a man would be protecting a woman and promoting other men and doing the same kind of thing, promoting womanhood, childhood, and protecting and providing. That's not popular with certain people today in America.
One of the odd things about this to me is that Cheryl E. Ralph makes these comments on this podcast on March the 20th. Somehow you get roped into it by whoever, hopefully that's able to be tracked down where that came from. But now that it's been covered in People magazine, why doesn't Cheryl E. Ralph's People, even if they don't want to name who it was, just say it wasn't you?
Now, that would be the nice thing to do. The other thing, if she winds up in an African country, and in some pictures I saw in the immediate physical presence of the vice president of this country, and that person, shall we say, is not one of my favorite people, and there might be a political animus involved in that as well. So,
have your people tried to reach out to her people to get her to clarify this?
Well, let's put it this way. If developments don't correct circumstance, there's a nice long vacation that I might be able to get paid for.
So at this point, you're not done with this as long as she is not releasing a statement exonerating you.
Right. And the other thing is I have no idea. I have no intention of buying the damn thing because I don't like kiss and tell Hollywood nonsense anyway. But what's in her book? That's the idea. She was supposed to be releasing a book. That's what the interview was about.
Well, and again, I wonder if that is the case, do you think there's anything to maybe it's not the person's dead, maybe his name is in the book, but as long as she keeps this speculation going, people will buy the book.
Yes. The other thing is, technically, she doesn't say anything that hooks me up with it. She doesn't mention the race of the individual. She doesn't give any description other than the fact that they were with the same studio. She names it. And at the same, she doesn't give the date, but she says new show. And she was with Moesha, and that launched January 23rd, 1996. And the studio records show that she, along with some of the cast and crew, were in New Orleans in 95 at Nasty selling it, as was this particular mayor who was selling the revised TV show, Judge Show. And also January 23rd, 1996, this person would have been in New Orleans again, as would this new television judge. So the show kicked off 97, which meant they would have been there at NAPTI selling the show in 97. So you could see the revised, the resurrected Judge Show. Meanwhile, la-di-da, sitting on a bench trying murder trials, robbery trials, rape trials, assaults, and all sorts of nasty things to protect the public. I was not into make-believe. So it also develops that I'm running for mayor in Memphis as an independent. And that has caused a great deal of upset to the local Democratic Party, a member of which, her husband, is an elected official representing that party. So there's been a lot of back and forth going on, and that may have something to do with not so much her, but certain people who would like to take advantage of this opportunity to spread sleaze. As you and I have discussed before, that's not the first time that I have encountered Hollywood irresponsibility trying to set this kind of thing up so they can get control over people who don't follow their agendas.
Judge, is there anything being done by people in your camp to try to track down who linked you to this?
Well, it's not hard. They publish this nonsense on YouTube, on Instagram, and on Facebook, and they are the identities. For the most part, they are small entities that are trying to get traction. And I suppose what they're doing is, what do they call it, monetizing their account so they can make money from it. Now, People Magazine, they simply put the speculation in there. But, again, they've got deep pockets. And I'm not a fan of the ladies, but what is it? Didn't Cardi B just blast somebody and get an interesting recovery for defamation of character?
Well, and I think in this particular case, what also is interesting, well, you had threatened legal repercussion to anybody who continued to make these accusations. Will you go after these people, the small entities on the internet who started this and linked you to it?
I'm leaving that to my group. Let's see how this washes out. Meanwhile, we've got more important things to deal with than small-minded jerks who are pathetic little creatures who have no life, and they try to be little parasitical creatures that try to burrow into the flesh of others so they can feed. That's parasites. So there are a lot of them around. They don't do anything with their lives. They don't necessarily report facts that would be helping the Republic do what it needs to do. So what are they useful for?
Before we move
Let's see.
Go ahead.
That's all.
I want to move on to another topic going on, big news today. But I just wanted to wrap
up.
I thought you might be aware of that. The other thing in regard to this is what I want to bring up, because People Magazine is probably one of the still a few magazines that is still on the newsstands, and people do read it because of this linkage by a small entity on the internet of you to this case, this podcast accusation. And because Cheryl Lee Ralph's people have not responded, now people are going to read that you have threatened. I mean, that's the headline in People. Judge Joe Brown threatens to sue Cheryl Lee Ralph. They're going to read why you're threatening to sue her, that these accusations were made. Somehow you were implied to be the person who made or did these things. So she certainly is getting the publicity. Your name's linked to it, rightly or wrongly. How do you deal with that?
Well, with respect, there are those people who do things in the real world throughout their adult lives. They support families, raise children. They do things that impact their fellow citizens and make a difference in their tomorrows for their fellow citizens. And then there are those people who keep those citizens distracted, and their entire adult lives are spent in make-believe and fantasy. So it is what it is. Now, People Magazine got me a lot of exposure, and the interesting thing is although every poll in Memphis is showing I'm the front runner in this mayor's race, and I actually have a large set of reforms that I've worked on for years and will make a difference and make this place a crime-free, safe area with prosperous economic things that people can make a living by getting involved with, and also some innovations when it comes to energy, police reform, all across the board, and end some abject corruption and ruin the opportunities that certain individuals have otherwise developed to get a hold of billions of tax dollars over the next few years and divert that money back to the people. Well, I can see how somebody might want to be desperate to stop that from happening, but it won't. So we'll see.
With 13 minutes left here, Judge, it's an historic day. And again, no matter how anybody feels politically, as we said last week, former President Donald J. Trump became the first president ever indicted in the history of the United States, 250 years 46 presidents, and today is going to be an interesting day. Apparently, around 2:15 p.m. Eastern time, President Trump will surrender to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. He will be fingerprinted. A mugshot will be taken, which I'm sure will be released later today and be on the front page of every newspaper in this country before the end of the week and all over the internet. We will find out if President Trump gets a gag order put on him. He will go before the judge today, and the indictment will be unsealed. And all we know is possibly there are over 30 counts against him in this indictment. And President Trump has said he will speak when he gets back to Florida tonight, Mar-a-Lago at 8 p.m. How do you feel about this, Judge?
Okay. First off, let's say this. It has nothing to do with Trump, per se. It has to do with the American system and the long road we have taken from point A to where we are now to avoid governmental oppression. The Bill of Rights and what we call criminal rights are not really criminal rights. They are rights that citizens have to be free from governmental oppression. Those rights most typically get developed and expanded upon because there is somebody charged with a crime. A lot of the people that have been linked with some of our most profound rights to citizens, such as Miranda rights, are associated with being unsavory people. So let's get away from Donald Trump and just look at the issues. Now, the indictments have not been published at this point. However, it is inescapable that the following considerations are in place. One, that American law encourages settlement of civil matters in lieu of trial. So, essentially, what do we have? Stormy Daniels is supposed to have had a settlement made with her. Well, that's in compliance with the spirit and letter of American civil law. So, are you saying you indicted somebody for following the law? Next thing, let's flip the script a little bit. What is it that they are accusing Donald Trump of benefiting from? Well, somebody would have exposed that he had sex with her for money. Okay, that's called prostitution. But it is a misdemeanor. The statute of limitations has long run. And it was not committed in any officer's presence, nor was there a warrant. So that wouldn't have been a good bust. Next thing is, what is it supposed to be? Hush money to keep Stormy Daniels from leaking this to the public. Now, the left has this phrase called blaming the victim. So when somebody's threatening to expose you to something embarrassing, that's known as blackmail. So technically, Donald Trump is a victim of blackmail. So what this dingbat DA did was indict the victim of extortion / blackmail. Now, let's get over to the other principle. Under American law, as buttress, surprisingly to a lot of lay people, under the 15th Amendment, a corporation has long been held to be a fictitious person. The fictitious person is liable for what is done in its name. That's why if you are a stockholder in a company, they can't sue you personally or damages for something the company did. So that kind of violates a rather long-standing American legal principle. The limited liability of a corporation and the failure of the liability of a corporation extending to somebody who is a real life person involved with the corporation unless you can show that individual had a direct involvement in what happened. Now, next thing, part of what has been released by this district attorney is that the corporation in reporting this said legal expense involving Stormy Daniels without saying what it is. Well, guess what? Typically in these settlements, there is a gag order where the parties are not to discuss what the settlement was about, and nobody acknowledges fault. It's just to get it out of the way to avoid the legal expense. So if this corporation was required to give a detailed statement as to what this was about, then it would be violating the orders of a court, which is against the law. So again, I find it interesting that this district attorney managed to get an indictment against somebody's, again, for following the law. And we can go down this litany of things that is rather extraordinary. Now, I have a sneaking suspicion that a lot of people in this republic who don't even like Mr. Trump are going to be very offended that somebody tried to break the spirit of American law. This kind of thing is not supposed to happen. So, where are we going with this? Well, there's also a possibility that this district attorney might wind up in a little hot water himself for abuse of process, acting under color of law, and a number of other things I won't articulate, but could be construed as criminality. So,
Judge,
here we go, loop-de-loop.
Judge, last night on Fox News, President Trump's attorney appeared, and the quote was, "What's extraordinary is that is tomorrow is actually happening. That's what's extraordinary. I just cannot believe it. I think we're on the eve of destruction. It's just surreal to me."
What? Well, yes. Let me put it this way. 55 years ago, I was teaching assistant for a visiting Russian professor at UCLA. She told us that America is in grave danger of becoming a fascist nation. Not from some, as she put it, jackboot-wearing, goose-stepping, uniformed political thugs. But, and I laugh about it when I think of her phrasing. She said, some pink panty-wearing, long-haired beatniks will most likely try to impose the methods of fascism to protect you from yourselves. And that will be the worst thing that will happen to you, because you will lose your wonderful republic. And she said she admired the American system, just not what the Americans did, because her personal reasons were that she lost a grandfather, two uncles, and an older brother to a U.S. Marine Corps division who occupied part of Russia in 1919 and 1920 after World War II, when we physically invaded the Russian mainland to keep the Communist Party from taking over. Now, that was her animus, but she admired the American system. But she said these do-gooders, as she put it, will impose some very harsh methods on you if you let them take control. And that's what we're getting.
Judge, there will be protests in New York today. I believe Marjorie Taylor Greene is leading one. She has already announced that. Is there a fear today that something violent could happen? And do you believe the judge who Trump will be in front of today will put a gag order on him against speaking about this, whatever the indictments are, which we'll find that out later on today?
That would also be rather unprecedented under the circumstances. You see, one of the things that's going on here is, well, you try to get a venue, if you are a prosecutor, that is disposed to your view, and then you try to control the news so that prospective jurors are already influenced, even though they're not supposed to be. That's just how the game gets played, and typically the defense plays that game too. So what, in essence, is a neutralization of both sides' public efforts of propaganda so that you get a fair trial. One of the things that might be of interest is the possibility that there would be a change of venue in order here. I can see that happening. I don't know who the judge is, but he will have to be masterful in maintaining and unfold the proceedings and ensuring a fair trial. And it's going to be kind of hard to get away with the gag order at this point, because the American public is going to say, okay, we don't even have 2 years to the next election. By the time this matter goes through the courts and gets to the appellate courts, the election will have come and gone, and that will be a really classic example of using the power of a government to throttle political perspective. So that's not the American way. And it also shows an inherent danger in our system, which fortunately has generally been refrained from. It gives a little small district in this huge country the opportunity to throttle the will of a significant part of that country because they don't like it. I've seen that, where somebody who is a national figure gets indicted in some little backwoods area, and they have to stand trial. It costs an enormous amount of money. It is very upsetting to the person, and it's psychologically you're on edge for months, and the stress ramps up. Older people, they have heart problems and all sorts of things that develop, and it's just not right when something is abused that badly. I've seen it up close and personal. When I have represented people or testified for people or been involved in the defense of individuals where they have been caught up with some, to use the term, jackasses, political ambition or vindictiveness. So there's this other thing too. What's the old proverb? Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. And I can see this backfiring, and I'm hearing rumblings in some of the pubs that I have been going into campaigning, where a lot of people are getting galvanized to not so much defend Trump, but to defend the American way.
Judge, we are out of time on that note. It's always a pleasure to have you on, and with the events of what could happen today, tomorrow, and this week, I hope we can call on you in the future.
Sure thing.
Thank you. Right. Thank you, Judge.
Have a good sure thing.
Judge Joe Brown. All right. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio.